How good it is to thank the Lord and praise to Thee a most high accord, to show Thy love with morning light and tell Thy faithfulness each night and what follows. Psalter 250, the first two stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 2, the verses 1 through 21. First, we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 2, the first 21 verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on mine handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, a blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer our family with the death of our old mother on Wednesday evening at the age of 97 years, and Mrs. Ellie Gunderson, who was in the ICU of the Lethbridge Hospital, and where the Lord has given a remarkable improvement in the day of yesterday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty, a majestic, righteous, and ever faithful and ever good-doing God, then it has pleased thee that on this Lord's day, that the doors of thy house have been opened, a portion of the congregation present, the greatest portion in their dwellings. May that be or become our burden, our sin and our guilt. And, Lord, then thou art still good doing. Where in the past week, where thou wast graciously watched over the whole congregation, from the youngest to the oldest, thou wast taken none away by the cold hand of death. Although our family has received the tidings that it has pleased thee to take out of the midst of our family circle a dear mother, a grandmother and great-grandmother, For her it has become eternity, a large empty place in the family circle. Ah, then thou hast given her so many years. But now the end has come, and as a family called upon to bring her mortal remains to the cemetery, wilt thou remember, wilt thou uphold, and wilt thou comfort, and that the calling may be sanctified, O Lord, do remember all mourning ones in our midst in their deep sorrow. Wilt thou continue to be mindful of them, O grant them a place at thy footstool, where they may tell thee all. And now thou wast granted by renewal, that thy church may remember and commemorate the glorious and the rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon thy church. And, O Lord, then surely, then it shall be well pleasing unto thee when thy church may be given to ask of thee great things, because thou art such a great God who was promised to remember his church. But, oh Lord, it is written in thy word that the fool has said that there is no God, and then that fool shall not ask of thee in sincerity and uprightness great things. Ah, the fool can confess with his mouth that there is a God, and the fool that innate knowledge with an impression that there is a supreme being. But that fool in the practice of life, then he lives as if there is no God, no death, and no eternity. Oh, Lord, may those fools, may they be given wisdom and understanding in this day by the work of thy Holy Spirit. Then it shall all become different. Oh, 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, they were converted by thee unto thee. But, O Lord, then also unbelief shall not be given to ask great things of thee, because unbelief shall look within and shall look upon the circumstances, and then it is so impossible, Lord. Then it is also the work of thy Holy Spirit that unbelief, that it may be driven away, and not only for the first time, but each time by renewal. Ah, that Father of old has declared, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Then it is so indispensable that by the work of thy Spirit, that thou granteth that true saving faith. And, oh Lord, then even small faith, weak faith, may be given to look upon such a great and such a gracious God, and be given to beg of thee that may become their portion to be saved. Oh, by free and sovereign grace to receive those blessings and benefits which thy dear Son has merited for his people. Lord, on the day of Pentecost, And then thou wast wrought so wonderfully by the irresistible and by the loving work of thy Holy Spirit all upon a church that has experienced in the past that they were so ignorant and so unbelieving and so full of the fear of men. Lord, it was a church that was also given, that was also the work of the Holy Spirit. When that early church with one accord, with prayer and supplication, then they were given to pray by the Holy Spirit for a richer manifestation and outpouring of thy Spirit. And then we read they were filled, set in that true liberty, and given to proclaim the wonderful works of the Lord. Lord, then we read that house was full, but their hearts were also filled, and their mouth was filled with the things of the Lord, was such a freedom and such a liberty to declare the wonderful works of the Lord. Lord, may it then please thee in this very day, this day of commemoration. Thou knowest how that we have spent a week, whether there were burdens, whether there were exercises, and whether there were yet sighs that have been sent up unto thee, the living God, that in these serious and solemn times, that it would please thee to do a great work amongst us. May it then please thee to come down with thy Spirit, with thy power, and with thy blood. Lord, may the prayers be multiplied to that end for thy church, those further leadings, the strengthening of faith, that freedom and that liberty, but that it may be a time that thou may pour out thy Spirit upon us and our children, that thou may fulfill what we have heard out of thy holy word, that in the latter days that thou shalt pour out thy Spirit upon all flesh, that our sons and daughters may prophesy, the young men see visions, the old men dreams, and that also upon the handmaidens and the servants, that thou would pour out thy Spirit. Then thy name shall be glorified. Then the kingdom of Satan shall be diminished. For most of the world, a large part of the Sabbath day has already transpired. But we may stand in this morning and sit in thy house in our dwellings. May then many prayers be sent unto thee, the living God. Lord, then we commend unto thee the young couple who were united in holy matrimony in the past week. Then their first Lord's Day together as husband and wife, and may be the day of Pentecost, and all wonder-doing God. May they be included among that number, those sons and daughters that may be given to prophecy, prophesy by the work of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, remember then thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember all our temporal needs. Remember all the sick and afflicted. Lord, remember her in the hospital. Then thou hast yet been a wonder-doing God. Were in the day of yesterday, that thou wast given a remarkable improvement. Then we may humbly ask thee that thou may grant further healing and further strengthening, and that she may be spared for the purpose of all purposes, and that is for the saving of her never-dying soul. Lord, wilt thou remember all the sick and all the afflicted, also those with the virus, grant them a place at thy footstool. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens, remember all our elderly ones. And now, Lord, in this morning hour, may we be administered from out of heaven. Then it shall surely be an easy and a pleasant task to be given to declare the wonderful works of the Lord. Lord, may all the labors be blessed, and may thy word go forth in this morning hour with power divine, from bench to bench, from chair to chair, and from dwelling to dwelling. Oh, do go from heart to heart, that many may be wrought upon. Oh, Lord, we all need the same thing. We are all rapidly traveling to that never-ending eternity, and there is only one step between us and death. And then thou granteth this time that we may be prepared. Lord, to that end may many be sought out. By thy free and sovereign grace, wilt thou so be mindful of us in this morning hour and in this day, that undisturbed, that we may gather together, and that we may hear thy voice and experience thy wonders for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 273, the stanzas 1 through 5. Thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure. Thy throne forever is the same, and to all generations sure shall be thy great memorial name. And what follows, 273, the first 5 stanzas. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 2, the verses 14 through 21. And we shall read the verses 14, 15, and 16. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Our text words speak of Peter's prophetical explanation of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. With four thoughts, firstly, upon a wonderful event. Secondly, with a glorious liberty. Thirdly, by means of a rich exposition. And fourthly, adding a timely encouragement. Peter's prophetical explanation of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Upon a wonderful event, with a glorious liberty, by means of a rich exposition, and lastly, adding a timely encouragement. Thus first, upon a wonderful event. Beloved congregation, the Lord has granted by renewal unto us and our children, that we may commemorate the glorious and the rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit under solemn and serious circumstances, because our text words speak of the last days, and then surely, then we are living in those last days. But then in our text words, then a glorious prophecy. Oh, it is true. It refers especially to the day of Pentecost. But the last days, they comprise from the day of Pentecost to the day that the Lord Jesus shall come upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. For the Israelites, there were three special feasts: the Passover, the Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Then the Passover was commemorated on the day, on the night that the Lord has delivered his people out of the land of Egypt. 50 days later, then it was the day of Pentecost with the Passover. Then the children of Israel, the first sheaves, they were to be brought to the tabernacle for the service of the Lord. And on the day of Pentecost, then from the wheat harvest, then the first two loaves, they were for the Lord, and they were to be offered up unto the Lord. The Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, that was a feast of a week. But the day of Pentecost, that was only one day. And now we read in this chapter that the day of Pentecost was fully come. Oh, it was the decree time. It was the promised time. But it was also the prayed for time and the waited for time. Oh, we have heard it. There was a church gathered together. We read more specifically thereof in the first chapter of Acts, that they were together with prayer and supplication in one accord. Then we read of the disciples, the women that have ministered unto him. Then we read for the last time in the scriptures of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and also his brethren. That, of course, for all of them, a wonder of free and sovereign grace. But then the grace also glorified in the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Acts 1 that there were approximately 120 souls. And then undoubtedly, because when we read the scriptures, I think of the feeding of the Lord Jesus Christ to that great multitude. Then there were 5,000 mentioned, not the women and the children, but congregation, when we consider that church that is gathered together. And they were active with the things of the Lord, with the promise that Christ has given unto them. We read thereof that he has spoken specifically of the sending of the Comforter in John 14, the verses 16 and 26. Also chapter 15, verse 26. Oh, in chapter 16, verse 7, that it was expedient that he would go away, that Comforter would come. And in Acts 1, before he has ascended into heaven, then he has received that promise of the sending, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And now that church, what a blessed church. Oh, it was an exercised church. They were exercised. Oh, it is true. In Luke 24, verse 52, we read that when Christ has ascended, that they were given to praise God, that they returned to the temple, magnifying the Lord. But now we also read in prayer and supplication, because they were awaiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what do you think, congregation? When they were so busy with the things of the Lord, when they were waiting and expecting for that special moment when the Spirit may descend in a special way. Then for fathers and mothers, would they then have left their dear children home? With that prayer and supplication, and with the promise of that Old Testament out of Joel, that the Lord would pour out his Spirit, that the sons and daughters would prophesy. It is not written in the scriptures, but what if they left then their children home? When we may be given to fear the Lord and to taste of the precious things thereof, is it not the desire of those souls that all people would become partaker thereof? What a blessed portion for that church that with prayer and supplication they were given to plead the promise. The days have went by, and undoubtedly that they have thought, because Christ has resurrected on the Lord's day, 8 days later on the Lord's day, the first day of the week, then with the disciples, with Thomas, would that promise not be fulfilled on that first Lord's day after Christ has ascended? But I read in Isaiah 55, the verses 8 and 9, that the Lord's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways different than our ways. They were given to persevere. That was not of self. That they were administered out of the fullness of their Master who has ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father as that praying and thanking high priest. They were administered to by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has given that they may persevere, that they were given to wait for the promise of the special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then it was the time. It was the Lord's time to favor Zion. We read of that time. We have sung together out of Psalter 273, Psalm 102, the set time of the Lord. And when that time has come, do I not read in Isaiah 43, verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? Oh, what a blessed time it was for the church in Jerusalem and for the multitudes we have heard of those many nationalities. The Jews have been dispersed in many countries, but they have come up to that feast. And then it was the Lord's time. And then we read of those special signs of the wind and of the fire. We shall not explain those signs. Oh, boys and girls, you must not understand that there was such a wind and that there was tongues of fire, but it is clearly written that it was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Thus we can, with our minds, try to comprehend it, that it was a sound of a great storm, of a hurricane, of a tornado, and there were tongues as of fire. And then we read, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What are we now to understand with that expression? For that church, then in the moment of regeneration, then they have received the work and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Do we not further read of those disciples in John 20, that Christ has breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit? But now also, now on this day when we read that they were filled, that word in the original, that means to be filled to the brim. Then they were filled with a larger and a rich measure, and to receive a knowledge of the third person as the sealer of their redemption. But on the day of Pentecost and thereafter, then they have received those special Pentecostal gifts. Then they were given to speak in other tongues. That those different nations, it is true, in that time it was a Greek world. But then the apostles, they were given, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they were given to speak in those different languages, that they may hear the wonderful works of the Lord declared in their mother language. And then we read of the multitude in verse 7. They were amazed. They marveled. In verse 12, they were amazed and they were in doubt. What meaneth this? Thus, that multitude, when they have heard what has taken place, then they have gathered close to that room where the Spirit was poured out, and they have heard such wonderful things. They could not understand it. They could not give a name. And that is now necessary for us, congregation, that we are given to marvel and that we may become amazed. That happens when the Lord works by His Holy Spirit, because then everything becomes different. And then we listen with different ears. And then we are given to speak with different tongues, not like the apostles in a foreign language, but nevertheless, the church shall be known by their fruits. And now upon those questions and that amazing of the multitude, then the apostles, filled with the Holy Spirit, then they were given to speak what was taking place. Our second thought, with a glorious liberty. There were many that were amazed, and there were also those that said, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. It's an awful thing to mock with the things of the Lord, where it was clear, if we are filled with new wine, then we shall be given to speak. And the word in the original, that means to speak in a very clear and concise manner. Thus, when they heard them speak in those foreign languages, then it was as if it was their native language. So clearly, they have spoken about the things of the Lord. And these men are full of new wine. And then we read in our text words, but Peter. And that was the same Peter, boys and girls. Oh, it is true. Peter had his character. Many times he was hasty to speak. But that was now that same Peter in the hall of Caiaphas, before servants, between maids, when they have inquired whether he was one of the followers of Jesus. They have not stood there with a sword and said, Peter, if you are a follower, you must be beheaded or also be crucified. That we do not read, but just upon the question whether he was a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And boys and girls, what has Peter done? Then he says, I know not the man. He has even sworn an oath. And now in this chapter, but Peter. That is now the wonderful work of the Lord. As a fruit of Christ at the right hand of the Father. And a fruit that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That he was not afraid of any man, not afraid of those mockers, but then filled with the holy zeal and with an eye for the glory of his master. Then he has received such a freedom and such a liberty to speak of the wonderful things of the Lord, and by the work of the Holy Spirit to expound the scriptures. Oh, do I not read in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Ah, that is the work of the Spirit, to bring a child of God to that true liberty. And they have to be delivered and freed from many things. Oh, it is true. For the apostles, they were brought to that full liberty of the children of God, where the Spirit was given to testify and witness. As I read in Romans 8 verse 16, to be the children of God. But oh, the glorious work of the Holy Spirit to bring to that liberty. Ah, what to the children of God? What do they have to be delivered from? Ah, they need to be delivered from the devil, being captives of the devil, being delivered from the world. of being delivered from the law and from the wrath of God. And then they need to be delivered from the guilt of sin, from the power of sin, from the dominion of sin, and from the punishment of sin. Then they need to be delivered. Because what a fear of man there can be when the Lord works. How tongue-tied that a child of God can be. And what a burden that can be. What a guilt. Maybe such a soul in my midst. That they are given to tell the Lord so much. And then there can be those times that there can be a desire to tell the whole world, a family and congregation, that the Lord is so worthy to be served. Oh, it is true, such a sinner. Many questions and many riddles. But oh, when the Lord granteth those tokens of his favor, when the Lord may drop a sweet word of consolation into their soul, then it can be such a desire. And now the church has to learn that also the liberty to confess and to declare, that is the precious fruit of the Holy Spirit. Our third thought, by means of a rich exposition. Because then we read further, he has addressed ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem. Also a wonder for that people. For Jerusalem, which has cried out, his blood be upon us and our children. There was a people that ascended away, then it was Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem could say, we are the chiefest of sinners. Is there still a Jerusalem amongst us? That have to experience by the further uncovering that we have sinned it all away. Gains better knowing we have been brought up under the truth. The world, they have not sat under that precious truth, but we, under the truth, under his goodness, and under the callings. And now on the day of Pentecost, then the Lord still had a word for Jerusalem. Then we see the grace, the mercy of God, that there is mercy for the chiefest of sinners. Ye dwell and dwell at Jerusalem. Be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And then first Peter was given to speak in the negative. And then he said, for these are not drunken. Peter did not say, people, use now your mind. Because when people are drunken, then they do not speak so sensibly. Then many times we speak so unadvisably. What an awful sin that drunkenness is. May we and our children be kept when there are those that are struggling. May you be given to seek help, because what a bodies it has destroyed, what a souls, what a families, what a marriages, and what a business. But now Peter said, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Thus then Peter was still given to say that in those days you would never meet a drunken person in the morning, maybe more toward the evening. But then Peter, then he is given. It is true, after our text words, then he was given to lay open their guilt, that they may come as a guilty sinner before the Lord. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, by that application, men and brethren, what must we do? But then Peter was first given to declare to the multitude this special happening that it has been prophesied already in the days of old, and now the day of fulfillment has come. And now concerning the prophet Joel, that prophecy, because he prophesied approximately 800 years before the birth of Christ, and then Joel, then he has spoken, perhaps the thought is, perhaps in the reign of King Uzziah, then he has spoken of the great judgments of the Lord that would come upon the people of Judea. And then he has spoken of two special judgments, and that was drought, no rain, that there would come famine, and there would come hunger. Then Joel has also spoken of the plague of locusts, and then in chapter 2, then those locusts, they do not refer to literal locusts, because we read remarkable things, that they shall come in their ranks, that they shall fall upon the sword, and they shall not be killed, and they shall come through the windows. Thus, then Joel is given to speak when he speaks of the plague of locusts, that it would be, it further points to the army of the enemies, that would cause much destruction upon them. And then in the verses 12 through 17 in Joel 2, out of which this prophecy is taken, then he has called that people to repent, to come together in sackcloth, that they may cry unto the Lord, O congregation. That is so missed in our day, that repentance. There's much religion, but true religion, then there shall be repentance. And then in verse 18 through 20, then the prophet is given to declare that the Lord is jealous for his honor, that he shall have pity upon his chosen people. And then in verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, because the Lord shall do great things for them. The Lord shall deliver them. The Lord shall grant rain in due time. The Lord shall deliver them from their enemies. And then our text, as Peter explains it, that begins in verse 28 of Joel 2, and in verse 28 we read, it shall come to pass afterwards. In our text, it is written in the last days. And what are we now to understand? That it shall come to pass afterwards. What are we now to understand by the last days? Oh, then it is true. In the time of Joel, in the time of the prophets of the Old Testament, then it was also concerning the deliverance of the children of Israel out of the hands of the enemy. Then further, as Peter explains it, oh, then it is a prophecy of a very rich time in the midst of the Church of Jesus Christ. Then it refers to the day of Pentecost. Then further, then it refers to times of great destruction, as we read in our text words, and it also points to the day of great judgment. And then what a precious prophecy. Congregation, how has it now been in the past week concerning the day of Pentecost? Have we thought much of it? Of that glorious day, of the great work that the Lord has done. Apostles filled with the Holy Spirit, 3,000 converted. Have there still been a few exercises and a few prayers that have been sent up to heaven? and that we have humbly begged, whether it would please the Lord to give a special day for his people led further, that hidden ones, that they may come in the open, and that the unconverted among young and old may be converted. How was it being, congregation? Have we thought of those things and exercised? But yet been a few beggars. Of course, the Lord is not obligated. The Lord is free and sovereign. But I read in Ezekiel that the Lord will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. And now what special things we read in this prophecy that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. I will pour out of my spirit. Means there has to be a source. If we have an empty pail, boys and girls, then we cannot pour it empty. You can understand it. Thus the source of that pouring out, that is from heaven. And that is the based, merited by Christ Jesus. What he has merited in the state of his humiliation. He has cried out, it is finished. And now he pours out his spirit as he has promised in the scriptures when he has spoken to the disciples. Also, as we said before, he ascended to pour out his spirit. And now pouring, that is a great abundance. Work of the Holy Spirit, signified different places by rain. Hosea 14 verse 5, as the dew. Oh, the dew, especially in a dry country. Then how it refreshes the weary crops. When the Lord grants a refreshing shower, a gentle shower, then what a blessing it is for the country, for the land. But now when our text does not say sprinkle, does not say a gentle rain, but it says a pouring out. That means a great abundance. And that is now taking place on the day of Pentecost. And then we first read of sons and daughters that they shall prophesy. When we think of the word prophesying, that refers to foretelling of future events. But in the scriptures, then it has a broader meaning. Clear, we could mention 1 Corinthians 11, where it speaks, long hair for women and the head covering, when they gather together around God's word, when it may be expounded, then there is spoken in that chapter of prophesying. Thus that means when the word of God may be expounded, when prayer is made. And now Peter is given to say, all people, now the day has come. What Joel has prophesied so many years ago, that sons and daughters shall prophesy, that means that they shall be converted and that they shall receive the liberty. Oh, it is true, when the Lord begins, then we first prophesy with our life, then it shall be seen that the Lord is working in our hearts. And then sin becomes sin, God becomes real, and then we shall become a seeker. Then we shall make the good choice of a Ruth, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. As sons and daughters shall prophesy. Then those sons and daughters, they shall also speak with other tongues. even in their conversation. Then it shall be desire. Oh, it is true. First, those sons and daughters, they more like to listen how the Lord converts his people. But by the work of the Holy Spirit, then those sons and daughters, they shall prophesy to speak of the precious things of the Lord. Oh, in richer times of the church, then we read of those precious things. Think in Acts 21, verse 9, of Philip, that he had four daughters that prophesied. Thus, what a precious promise for the church. Sons and daughters, may you receive a beginning of that prophesying. Has the Lord converted you, given you a new heart? That goes out after the things of the Lord. Then secondly, young men shall see visions. What are we now to understand by that second point? Does not say young men and young women shall see visions. But it only speaks of those young men. When we think of the Old Testament, who has received many visions? Oh, it is true, also in Abram, but then especially in the Old Testament, those have received visions that were called to serve in the Lord's vineyard. Think of Isaiah, Ezekiel, the night visions of Zechariah, more examples. Thus, in this rich prophecy for the day of Pentecost, because the Lord uses means, Romans 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then in verse 15 of that chapter, it speaks of those preachers that are sent. Thus then, when we read that young men shall see visions, then it concerns labors in the Lord's vineyard, and that need is very great also in our day. We have so many vacant congregations, and Christ has exhorted his church in Matthew 9, the verses 37 through 38, that the Lord may thrust out more labors in his vineyard. When we consider those visions, we have the examples in the Bible. Ananias, a vision concerning Saul in Acts 10, Peter, Acts 16, in Troas, Paul. Then thirdly, old men shall dream dreams. And of course, that includes all old people. Those older ones in my midst, do you hear it? Also a promise for the elderly ones. It's never too late, although when we have become old, it is late, but never too late. And that those old people, and that they shall be given to dream dreams. When we become older, then of course many times, then older people shall dream about things of the past. And now concerning this old people in our text, then that old people shall be given to reflect upon their former life. But concerning those dreams in the Old Testament, it was one of the ways that the Lord has revealed himself to his people, where they had not the complete canon of the scripture. And I read in Psalm 25, verse 14, that the secret of the Lord is for them that fear him, and he shall show them his covenant. And then also servants and handmaidens. slaves, a lowly station. People that did not have such a high position in society. Maybe people that were not instructed as others may be looked upon. Then also upon those servants and handmaidens, the Lord would pour out His Spirit. Think of Onesimus. Let us first sing. Psalter 397. Let us sing 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, Thou art my God and King, and I will ever bless Thy name. I will extol Thee every day and evermore Thy praise proclaim. And what follows? 397, 1, 2, and 3. Peter's prophetical explanation of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon a wonderful event with a glorious liberty by means of a rich exposition, and now fourthly, adding a timely encouragement. And then Peter, according to the prophecy of Joel, then he was also given to speak that in those last days. And when we read of that term, the last days, and may understand it from the day of Pentecost to the time that Christ shall come upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. And then the prophet has spoken, oh, Christ shall continue to gather his church, and there shall be rich times, there shall be revivals. May the Lord grant a true Pentecost amongst us and our children. And then Peter was given to add, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, a blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Then in the first place, then the prophet is given to speak of great judgments and destructions that would come upon the people of Judah and upon the inhabitants of the earth. O Jerusalem was destroyed, was burnt. What a sight it must have been. And under those destructions, just think, boys and girls, when there are many forest fires to the west of us, then sometime it happens that the moon and the sun, they appear so different that they are not so visible and not so clear. And that is what the prophet is given to speak of. Thus given to speak of judgments that would come upon the people, but also during those last days that the judgment shall continue to come because of a departing of a people from the living God and from the Word of God. Oh, Josephus would be fulfilled approximately 40 years after the day of Pentecost. Josephus tells us of terrible things that have taken place with the destruction of Jerusalem. He even speaks of a star in the shape of a sword over that city. Oh, he tells us that there was a prophet that for 7 years that he has cried out nothing, woe, woe unto thee, Jerusalem. When we read these verses, then it also speaks. When Christ shall come upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead, then the church shall have been gathered, then the last one shall have been converted. And now in verse 21, oh, we have heard of wonderful things that the prophet Joel has prophesied that have been fulfilled in a special day, in a special way, on the day of Pentecost. But that prophecy of Joel that is continuing to be fulfilled also in our day through all the centuries since the day of Pentecost. Oh, it is true, on the day of Pentecost, it was in a rich and extraordinary manner, where we do not read in the history of the church that it has happened in such an extraordinary manner, but oh, there have been those times of great revivals, a word has been fulfilled, that many sons and daughters were given to prophesy, young men see visions, to be separated, to proclaim that everlasting gospel, that also upon the elderly ones, that the Lord, the Spirit, has wrought wonderfully even upon handmaidens and servants. And now the exhortation that Joel has given, and it shall come to pass. Thus, that is the application upon what we have heard. A wonderful prophecy that has been fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit shall continue to work. And what must we and our children now do? And to that end, Joel, and Peter recites Joel, then we read in verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you hear, congregation? It does not say some, a few, or many, but whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thus that implies that if we are not saved, it is because we do not call mightily unto the Lord that he may save me, a poor sinner. And now what that exhortation, where must it now bring us? In the guilt. Because in paradise, there we could call perfectly and uprightly unto the Lord. And now when the prophet says to call upon the name of the Lord, then it must be in truth, uprightness, and sincerity. Oh, I hope, congregation, that with that text that you may run stuck. That is necessary. We can live so comfortably. We can say, day of Pentecost, a wonderful day, free in sovereign grace, 3,000 converted. But as Peter then say, you must wait for it with your arms folded. Is that what Joel has said? No. Exhorted to bring us into the guilt, whosoever. So if we are not included, if we are not saved, it is all our own fault. But now the Lord requires that we call upon him in truth and sincerity. Then verse 21. May it lead to prayer for the work of the Holy Spirit, for a new and upright heart, for the spirit of prayer and of supplication, for true beggars. Oh, I hope. There have been a few beggars in the past week. Oh, that have humbly begged the Lord that on the day of Pentecost to receive a little of that liberty of the apostles to be led further, because that people, those beggars, they can have so many questions and they can have so many riddles. But now, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord as a people, oh, it is true, have to condemn their prayers. So much amiss. All need to be washed in the precious blood of Christ. But the Lord has a people that knows what it is to come at the throne of grace with all their blessings, with their needs, with their desires, and with their sins. Oh, at the throne of grace with that calling, that they may say, "Ach, Lord, thou knowest my heart so much amiss, and I have so many questions. But, ach, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." The psalmist has declared in Psalm 145, verse 18, The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. And the Lord has a people that is a praying and a begging people. Ah, the Lord said to Ananias, behold, he prayeth. And then to all that call upon him in truth. Ah, then that people. Then room is made for that precious mediator, that he is the truth, and that he may grant that truth. And then further, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Ah, there is a people upon the earth that may honestly say before an all-knowing God that their heart goes out after the Lord, after his honor for his kingdom. Ah, that separation from the Lord, that is worse than death. They need to be saved. But the psalmist has declared in verse 19 of Psalm 145, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Thus it is confirmed in that psalm what we read, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then in Joel, then it is also added, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant who the Lord shall call. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard of wonderful things out of thy holy word. The rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. And where Peter was given to declare and expound upon the prophecy of Joel, that thou wouldst work by thy Spirit among young and old. Ah, Lord, may that be fulfilled amongst us and our children in this very day, and that in the time to come, that we may meet and hear of many sons and daughters that may begin to tell what the Lord has done, that we may meet young men burdened with thy service. Ah, Lord, also our elderly ones in our care home, to pour out thy Spirit, that they may be given to dream dreams, exercised with the things of the Lord. Lord, thou hast promised it, and thou hast promised to bless thy word. Thou hast never promised to gather thy church in the places of vanity and wickedness. Ah, thou can do it, but it is not what thou hast promised. That is under thy truth. Ah, Lord, then surely there is still a purpose, that thou hast left the truth amongst us and our children. May the prayers be multiplied. Lord, teach us to pray, because we have heard, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. Lord, watch over us in the furtherance of this day. Bring the congregation under the means of grace in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou remember and help the brother elder? Ah, grant him the liberty of the Spirit when he is called upon to lay all the needs of the congregation before thee. And may he taste something of what he may read. Lord, bring us safely to our homes. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 442, the stanzas 2 through 5. What glorious things, O city of Jehovah, are spoken in melodious tones of thee, Alo, Rahab, even Babel, I will see, mid hallowed chorus singing, hallelujah, and what follows, 442, the stanzas 2 through 5.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.